Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I would like to share something with you guys tonight because I feel there's somebody here that needs to hear this. About 3 weeks ago, somebody approached me and, you know, was telling me, give me some compliments and how, you know, my passion for God and how amazing is that. And then she said, but. And you know when somebody say but, that's the important part, whatever happened before. I said, but I think that you should perform better when you preaching in Spanish because your accent is a little too strong. And I just smile and, you know, went on my way. But I want to say something. I'm not a minister of English minister. I'm no Spanish minister. I'm a minister from the kingdom of God. Right? And I've learned that. If somebody is coming to you and telling you that you are not good enough, listen, don't listen to those words because you are the son and you are the daughter of the king. So if I can't tell with my words the way that I want to express my love for God, I will use my hands. If I can't use my hands, I will use a piece of paper. But nobody can chop me down for telling God how much I love Him, for telling God how much He means to me. So if somebody is coming to you and telling you that you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not amazing enough to do the things for God, shut them down in the name of Jesus. That's the enemy. Amen. That's not even part of the message, but I feel like somebody needs to hear that tonight. His grace is sufficient for us. And now we're going to the message. You know, these days, we are the church. When I say we are the church, not only our church, but the church universal. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in countries that I've been, and it's happening in my country where I'm born. It's happening everywhere. And it's the with the years passing, the church is becoming more and more comfortable. You know, the Bible say that the son, Jesus, didn't have a place where to put his head. But with the years happening, the church is getting more comfortable and more comfortable. And something that happened last year through the pandemic is that now we have all the social media and we have all the things that are good. But sometimes we kind of lean on those things too much and we forget about the connection with God. So it's nice to see church from the couch at home in pajamas and not even participate or worship the Lord. I'm not criticizing, okay? Everything that I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to speak out of my heart. It's what God has given me. But sometimes follow up with the words that Pastor Mike said last week. Thanks God for Oceans Unite. Because this is a church that don't compromise. Amen. The word is the word of God and we don't want to change it. Okay? We don't compromise in Oceans Unite. And I only can speak for my church because this is my church. And I thanks for that. And we become comfortable. And I was thinking, you know, after 9 months in the womb, the baby is kind of comfortable there in mommy's belly. Right? So sometimes when the baby born, there's two things that are going to happen. Number one, when the baby get out, it's going to start crying and screaming because it's out that comfort place that he was. He's in a new environment, right? The second thing that can happen is no crying, so he's going to get a nice spink. So he start crying, so he start breathing because he's breathing through the umbilical cord for so long that he don't know yet how to adapt to the new environment. And sometimes God had to do that with us too because we get so comfortable, you know, in our seats, in our couch, just doing the same thing over and over and over again, trying to expect in different results, right? And we need a little like, bah, wake up, you know, jump. Listen, if somebody here tonight think that I'm being a little too harsh or raw, forgive me, you know, but I won't apologize for that. Listen, in John 6, chapter 60 to 66, you can go and read it at home. I ain't going to put it on the screen. But something was happening. Jesus was giving words to the people that was around him, and people thought that was really hard words that he was giving away. And some people say, oh, this is too hard. And from that day, some people, even disciples, just walk away. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and says, and you're going to leave too? You're going to leave too? And Peter says, who are we going to go? Only you have words of eternal life. Amen? So tonight I want to talk about a specific church. It wasn't a specific church, a very special church, but at the same time, what's the church that we can learn something from even today? Let's go to Revelation 2, verse 2 and 3. And this is one of the letters to the church in Ephesus. This is one of the seven churches that received the letter in the book of Revelation. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. And I found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. I mean, this is amazing. This is church. It's like doing everything they're supposed to do. Amen? But let me give you a little background to that church. Acts 19 to 6. And now this is Paul. In one of his trips to Ephesus, on his way, he found one of the disciples, some of the disciples from that city. And he said to them, verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they say to him, we have not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they say, into John's baptism. Then Paul say, John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him, on him who will come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Everything that we have been listening from the last few weeks, talking about Holy Spirit. If this is a test for college, you should take note, because Holy Spirit is coming in the test. It keeps coming. It keeps showing up. I think God is trying to tell us something, right? The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesy the same day. They were baptized and they were prophesied. Amen. Listen, when God is in the business and the Holy Spirit is there, nothing is impossible. Some people say, oh, I'm gonna listen, this is not the right moment for me. I'm just gonna wait till the moment is right. Listen, God is ready. It's up to you, it's up to us to step on, you know, out of the boat and walk towards Him. Amen. Listen, something amazing is start happening there. They said after all these things happening, that church, that revival start happening in that city. You know, and the city of Ephesus was a very peculiar kind of city. Number one, it was one of the biggest ports in that times. Really good for commerce, for people that come from Greece and all the surrounding countries, but also have one of the biggest temples on that time. It's the temple of Diana, or Diana. You know, that was very known for her practice. And there was a city that was like witchcraft and divination and all kinds of stuff. But it said that when Paul was there, people start coming to the Lord and burning the books and rejecting all those things, all those practices that weren't doing. It was revival happening in that city. It was revival happening in that church in Ephesus. Are you with me so far? Don't get a slip on me tonight, guys. Listen, I was 11 years old, right? And I went to this conference. And I wanted to learn more of God. And then instead of going to my kids or young kids classes, I used to sit with where you guys sitting tonight, because I want to hear about the meat kind of work, right? But for the 3 days, I mean, it was 7 o'clock in the morning. At 12 o'clock at night, we still were like going and going and going. But the third day, I couldn't hold myself, so I fell asleep in the message. And they were preaching about circumcision and Philistines. And then the preacher up front said, "Is anybody here that want to be circumcised?" So I was sleeping, so the person next to me kind of elbowed me and said, "Raise your hands." I woke up and raised my hands. So... So they call me to the front. At this point, I don't even know what is happening. So I thought they call me, come here to the front. They want to pray for me. So when I get to the front next to the preacher, he say, "And here is a uncircumcised Philistine that want to be circumcised." And I look at this, and he start running for my life. Since that day, I didn't fall asleep. So don't fall asleep on me, because I'm going to call you here. I'm kidding. I'm not. So we were talking about the city of Ephesus, right? I want to give you some... He says that Paul was there for 2 years after that happened, and the city was in fire. People were coming to the Lord. You know, sometimes they even had to put hands on people. They sent the clothes, they sent to the scene, and people were being healed. And this is happening from the historical perspective, for you to have an idea about the 53 after Jesus. The letter that I'm going to talk about you right now happened about the 60. But we can see in the book of Ephesus something very interesting. The word love is mentioned in 6 chapters. The book of Ephesus is very short chapter. 11 times the word love is mentioned. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is trying to tell something to that church. I'm going to read it really quick to you. The guys on the back, don't worry. I'm just going to read it really quick. Are you ready? Because I'm going to need your help, okay? It says, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ, this is Paul, in all of the different letters or parts of the book of Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in, that's right, 3:19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. 4:2, we all lowliness and gentleness, we long suffering, bearing with one another in, 4:15, but speaking the truth in, may grow up all things into him who is the head, Christ. 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, but every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does his share, causes growth of the body for edifying of himself in, and 5:2, and walk in, I'm going to repeat that again, and walk in, as Christ also has loved us and give himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for sweet smelling aroma. I only mentioned probably like 6. There's 11 times. He's trying to tell something to that church. So years have passed. A new generation is in Ephesus. And something happened. Something happened. Let's go to Revelation 2:4. You remember all the good things that the letter was saying about everything that they were doing. He said, Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You have left your first love. So everything was working fine. The church was functioning. But in the way, they forgot about Jesus. Jesus was left behind, a generation probably behind. A church that was in fire doing everything, now was doing everything except without love. And then God is kind of telling them, remind them once again, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Other versions say, you no longer love me as you did at the beginning. Do you guys remember the first time that when you came to the feet of Jesus? You know, how you felt that day? I don't know where you were. You probably, you know, in the altar, you know, saying, giving thanks to him and telling him, from this moment on, now I will follow you. Or maybe you were in the secret place. Maybe you were in your bedroom, or you were listening to the favorite song, you know, when God spoke to you live. Do you remember that today? How you felt when the weight fell off your shoulder and you find out someone for the first time that will never ever give up on you. God brought a lot of memories as I was preparing for this message. He worked in ways that sometimes we don't understand. But sometimes, the things in our life and they become so a routine that we forget about what are we doing? And what are we coming to Jesus? And then we have these churches all around the world are having big services with a big crowd, but not making disciples. Or having a big crowd, but Jesus is outside the door. Do not forget your first love. That passion of the first day when you came to him and you were like trying to be every single day here. You want to be close to him. I'm going to be sharing a lot of memories because as a God gave me, because I mean, that's how I relate. That's how I can share what God has done with me. I remember 3 times that after the service, I don't do this, okay? The things that I do, I don't know. You know, after the service in my church, sometimes I used to hide in the very back. There was these long wood benches. And when the pastor's wife came to close the church, I used to hide. So I could stay in church all night. I was waiting for God to talk to me. Listen, I fell asleep 3 times, so. But I was trying, you know. I read the story of Samuel. I want that to happen to me. That desire to be touched, that desire to be used as an instrument, not for yourself, but for others. If this message that I'm giving you tonight only reached one of you guys, that would be more than enough. You know why? Because that one that have listened to this message is going to tell it to somebody else. And that person is going to be to somebody else. And then this message is going to reach maybe 500, I don't know. I just doing what God telling me to do. There is 6 points I want to share with you guys tonight. There's many more, but this is some of the things that I think that is more happen in our life, happen more often in our life that it causes to kind of lose that passion for God. Number one, working excess. We want to fill our spiritual void. Okay? The Bible said, be filled of what? The Holy Spirit, right? But we want to fill the void by doing a lot of work for God. We are here in the church. We can be cleaning. We go and do like on Fridays we go. I'm just giving an example right now, right? On Fridays we go and help with the food for the poor and the needs. However, we are doing that not to get close to Him and have intimacy with Him, but to fill the void in our heart. We have that need as human to feel need. by somebody else, to feel like we're doing something for somebody. Work in excess. Number two, religious life. Pastor Mike was talking about religion last week. And by the way, if you weren't here or you didn't hear the message from Pastor Mike and Pastor John, I recommend you go and listen to them. They were amazing. Religious life. There is prayer, but there is no intimacy. There is a prayer life, but there's no intimacy. Every day is a repetition of the day before. Good morning, God. Thank you for this day. Bless me. Amen. Good morning, guys. Thank you for this day. Amen. And we become like those birds that keep repeating themselves, whatever you say, right? And then the distance start growing and growing and growing and growing. So we have to be careful with those things, because in our heart we may feel that we are doing the right thing. However, if we don't stay connected to God, the distance is going to grow up. I remember I shared in one of the youth groups this illustration. I think that it makes sense, because let's say when you go to the beach, you go to the beach with your family, and then you're going to put all your clothes and all your things right here. You put your umbrella, your chairs, and then you get on the water, right? And you get on the water, and you walk a little bit towards the back, you know, water towards your chest. And then the waves start giving you, pushing you and pushing you. So you look back, and your umbrella is like that way. You know what? And I was saying, you know what? Your things in the sand represent Jesus. He's always there. He's always there, available and visible and ready for you. The waves is going to be the distractions of this world, the problem of this world, whatever of this world is coming to you, keep pushing you. Those are going to be the waves. So the only way that you won't be losing your location is when you turn back, and every time that the wave hears you, okay, let me move forward because I don't want to lose my stuff, you know. You have to keep your eyes in Him. You have to keep your eyes in Him, not in the distractions of this world and everything that is happening around you. Who is the political party that is winning or who is not? Listen, the kingdom of God and then everything else, right? Our kingdom is not from this world. When it's from? From heaven. Amen? And this is what happened. We get so distracted. You know, I haven't seen in my life, I think since the time of Elijah, so many prophets on Facebook. I mean, the last time I remember so many prophets were when Elijah was trying to see who's going to send fire from heaven. But now in the last year, I'm watching a Christian message online, and then we have a prophet, and we have another prophet, and we have this prophet selling popcorn box with my ministry here, you know. Let's be careful not to get deceived. You know, that's why Pastor Wallace say everything, even what we speak out here, has to be tested by the word of God. Okay, the Bible says in these days they're going to be raising a lot of people, many ministers, many prophets, saying everything that sounds like the end of the days ministry, lighting from heaven ministry, end of the days ministry, I'm coming for you ministry. You know, it sounds like interesting. But in the process, we forget about our first love. Are you here tonight? Number three, spiritual pride. You know, when we think that we need God, but not too much of God. That's God, it's too much. You know, it's like sometimes with my daddy, I want to hug you. I say, daddy, that's too much. You know, like that. Sometimes we think that we need God in our own terms. You know, I'm just going to take a little piece of you. It's what I need. Okay. If something is wrong, it's not wrong with me. It's wrong with the Bible. I'm not the one with the problem. It's the Bible. Something is wrong with the Bible. Well, we believe the Bible is inspired by God, right? He can be wrong. Something is wrong with me. But sometimes in our spiritual pride, we try to define ourselves sometimes as a little more important than God. And remember, the difference between God and good is only one O. So I want to feel good. I want to please God. Are you with me? Natural discernment. Natural discernment. The wisdom that I'm using is not from God or not from inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's my own wisdom. What I have learned, what I have studied, what I have done through the years, you name it. But let me tell you something. You remember Moses? Everybody know Moses, right? You know, Moses. Let my people go, you know. Moses. He was trained in the last things, you know, all the last thing of his time. He knew how to fight. He knew how to read. He knew how to speak. He was trained in the palace, right? And then what happened? He went to the mountains, and when God called him, he didn't even knew how to speak. Because God don't need your strength. He will use you as his instrument. We won't use God as our instrument to do our own will and whatever we want to do. That's because one of the things I'm, you know, I pray God and say, listen, God, when you call me to, you ordain me to Oceans United, God, I don't even, probably people won't understand me. You know, and then I learn. Listen, it's not on my strength. It's on his. His grace is sufficient for me. Amen. Insensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Here we go again. It's coming on the test, I'm telling you. Insensitivity to the Holy Spirit. There is no concern for his presence, for his work, or for his move. There is no desire to know him. There is no desire to know him. There is many churches that today don't speak about the Holy Spirit. And we start reading about these disciples. Paul asked him, okay, do you guys know about the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, what is that? Nobody have telling us about. A really important part of our daily life. Our counselor, that's the connection that we have with God. You know, it's like a two pieces or a mechanism, you know, putting together. And then the bolts that keep it together. Okay, well, the Holy Spirit is like that. It's that bolt that keeping together our connection with God. And through Jesus. Are you with me? And number one, I want there is no passion. There is no passion. And when we lose our passion for God, everything becomes religion. You lose your passion for God, for doing the things that you were doing, and everything start being the same over. It's like a painting that is only gray. There's no colors. There's nothing happening. It becomes boring. And then you start getting depressed. That's why you see people that you know, they come to the Lord and they're on fire and they just want to see that from because they want to receive from the Lord. And then something happened and then they move to the third line. And then something keep happening and they move to the five and the six. And then they sit on the very back in the dark because the passion is gone. And one day they just walk out of the church, finding a church where they can't hear the message that make him feel good. It came to my mind, the message of pastor is in the vine, right? They want to be planted, but they never get planted. Don't be that person. Let's not be that person. I'm talking to myself. You know, my first love was gone until I came to Oceans Unite. I remember I was on my way to Tallahassee. My wife called me and said, listen, we have to check this place. God is here. And I said, yeah, right. Because I was going through so much. When I came to this amazing country, I was in fire for God. I was thinking, okay, there is freedom here to express and worship God with no problems and persecutions or anything, nobody giving you trouble, and you just can go in the parks and preach, and you can go to every corner of the country and you can talk about God with no problems. And when I got here, I found out that, okay, well, services are on Sunday. And I asked somebody, well, there's more services. I said, no, welcome to the United States. But you know what? I see much more. I see a generation in fire for God, and God's going to raise amazing prophets and pastors and ministers in this church. I see people that have hungry for God. I refuse to believe that the enemy is going to take what God has given us. I refuse to believe that we are not enough, because the angels are camping around us are more and more and more than the enemy's entire army. Oh, God, we praise your name. So what we have to do? How we can change that? Revelation 2:5. Revelation 2:5. Thank you. They sometimes say the evening. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. Remember. Remember where you've fallen from and do what? The first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from his place unless you repent. Remember, therefore. We must remember from where we have fallen. What was that happened? What was that turning point when everything changed from being amazing in a way to be a routine, the same over and over again? And we had to repent. We had to come to God saying, listen, God, I know that I have failed. I know that I have messed up. But God, I want to get connected with you, Father. I want to love you at the first day, Father. When you came to me, Father, when you told me, I told you that I want you to be the Lord and King of my life, Father. I want to have that intimacy, Father, that I have at the beginning, Father. That intimacy that David talked, Father, when he's going to the secret place. I want to be there with you, Father. Go to that place. Go to that place. He won't reject you. He will be waiting there for you in the same place where you left him. Because he's a patient God. He loves you. He don't want nobody to perish. There's something in the Greek. Oh boy. Pastor John, are you here? Oh no. Well, in the Greek, I'm going to try to pronounce this one. Okay? It's not that hard. Okay. In the Greek, remember to your first work is talking about protos or protos, which also translate in the main, the most distinguished, the most important, the prominent. It tells us about the main thing, the most important thing, what starts the rest. Intimacy with God is the first and foremost. Neglect this, and you will lose your first love. You want to go to that place of intimacy where only him is the most important thing. Amen? Some of you, I don't know if you ever wonder what happened to that city and that church. Well, there's some different scholars that come together and say, but what is happening today? Well, the city of Ephesus is no longer. All that remained from that city is ruins. And it's under Muslim rule. I don't know what happened, but I know the warnings. The Bible told me about the warnings that happened over that church went from a place that was in revival to a place that today is in a country where less than 0.3% are Christians, and more than 98% or 97% are Muslims. We have to take care of our life. We have to take care of the things that God has given us to protect. Men, I'm talking to you right now. You have to be restored the priesthood in your house. Our homes need people and fathers that are willing to teach our next generation kids what is to follow the word of God and what is God and what is the love of God. So when they grow up, they remember what the first love, what it feels like. Because day by day, the things of this world are taking our kids away from us. Entertainment, video games, TikTok, TikTok, and Facebook, and Twitter, and all those things. Fathers, we have to restore the priesthood at home. You know what? When God created Eden, He gave it to Adam. You know, I want now that you take care of your wife and take care of your family and take care about the whole creation. Everything I want to take you to take care of. And if you are a single mom, well, you are the priest of your house as well. Do not neglect the tools that God has given you. The time is near. This is the second late rain. The church is going to see an acceleration, and I believe so. Pastor Alex told us about that, and I believe it's happening already. In the last year, so many things have happened, and some things are yet to happen, but we have to be strong. We want to know who is our first love. We want to know where our security and our safety is. If we don't, we're going to fall off. We're going to fall off. We're going to lose our hope. We have to come every day to the altar. We got to come every day to God, telling Him how much you love Him. You know, fill me, Lord. Holy Spirit, I want you to be my best friend. I want you to be with me. Father, you know, every day I must stop, but every day I want to stand up, Father, because only you can sustain me, Father. That's because the Apostle Paul said, the things I want to do, those things I don't, but the things I won't want to do, those things I do, but God, keep forgiving me, Father, because I repent, Father, for what I'm doing, Father. Only you, Father. Only you can restore this body, Father. Only you can change, Father, what I was to what I'm going to be, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, I know, Father, that yesterday I'm better than today. And today and tomorrow I'm going to be better than today, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, change me, Lord. I want to come back to your first love, Father. I want to be one with you, Father. Oh, I want to be in unity. In communion with you, Lord. Galatians 2:20. There's something that we have to do every day. Less of us. And more of Him. Less of us and more of Him. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I know that it's not perfect, but I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you know why we love Him? Because He loved us first. He didn't want nothing in return. He just wanted to love us. So the least that we can do is love Him back. The Bible says everything that is created belongs to Him. If He wants something, His word says, if I want something, I won't ask you, because everything that's in the earth is being created by me. The animals, everything, the trees, everything. There's only one thing. Say, sacrifice your praises to the Lord. Sacrifice your praises to the Lord. And I want you to think about that for a moment. When we come to church, and I want you to understand, and I was telling you guys this morning to some of you that were in prayer, the church is not this building. You are the church. We are the church. We have to understand that. Because I don't know what the future is going to bring for the church in the United States or the church around the world, but we know, if we know that we are the church and that He loves us first, and we stay in intimacy and communion and unity with Him, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, I know that we, that crowns that the Bible said are waiting for us. So when you come to the house of God, when we come here together, listen. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Just come with the same intimacy that you come to your father or your mother, or that person that you love the most. You know, if you are singing to God, just express it to Him. Stop holding your pockets and holding your shares. They don't gonna go everywhere. Just connect with God. Express with your lips how important He is to you. Before I finish, I would like, if possible, it's like a worship band could stay on the stage for me, please. I want all to stand up before I close. I want to, once again, as the worship team is singing this song, and as we're singing with them, to worship God. And I want us to tell Him how important He is in our life. I wanted to tell Him, God, forgive us, Father, because if we have lost our first love, we want to go back. We want to reconnect with You, Father. We want to come back to that place, Father, when we come to the altar, Father, and tell You how beautiful You are, Abba Father. Abba Father. It means like Daddy. Daddy. If we could translate what Abba means today, it's like the most intimate word that we can call Him. Daddy. I love You, Father. You are so important to us, Father. So let's worship Him once again, Father. But let's do it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all that You represent. He's worthy of all praise and all worship. Thank you. sorry for those times, Father, that we were too tired, Father, to get the time of communion with you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the release, you, Father, and the monotony, Father, in our life, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Father. Oh, we call upon your name tonight, Father, in this place, Father. And we give no other space in our heart to you than only anybody else but you, Father. Oh, Father, we recognize, Father, that in your heart is only one King. And it's Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, keep taking us, Father, to a new dimension, Father. Holy Spirit, fill this place every day in our life, Father. Walk with us wherever we go, Father, in our homes, in our schools, in jobs, Father. Wherever we go, let us go with you, Father. Let us show you to the world like our best friend. We are proud, proud of the one that was walking next to me. You are our King, God. You are our King. Blessed be is your name, Father. In this hour, in this place, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He presses in this place, Father. You are the God of our salvation. You are our stronghold. We love you, Jesus. Father, let us have that desire for you like that woman, Father, that was running, pushing the crowd, Father, and saying, if I only could touch his garment. Let us have that faith, supernatural faith, Father, that know that your presence is more than enough. If your presence is not here, Father, we don't want anything else, Father. Let us be like the bar that lying at the side of the road, Father, that when he knew that you were passing by, with all his might, he screamed, Yeshua, Son of David, have mercy of me. Yeshua, Son of David, have mercy of me. And we know that the ones that call upon your name, Father, you don't reject them, Father. Let us have communion with you, Father. From this day forward, Father, let us never forget how beautiful it is to walk in your first love. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In the name of Jesus, and God's people say, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.